We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
There's good news.
These are dangerous times.
Sol's my horn ready yet?
Yeah, it's ready. Should be loud enough for you now.
Where is it? Let's hear it.
This is not your country anymore.
The legal equivalent of the French guillotine.
A political war crime.
A junk indictment.
The shredding of our Constitution.
They're going full banana republic, full third world on this.
Third world banana republic.
Full banana republic.
Complaining to a governor over the phone? Speaking at a rally?
Never feels like they have the best lawyers.
It's a crime to ask Pence not to certify?
He still believes the election was stolen, and he has good cause to believe so.
You have every right to think an election might be rigged.
We care about the system.
This is the criminalization of disinformation.
Are we going to now have to go back and find fraud in the 2020 election? Is this now what we're going to go relitigate?
Signing off now, maintaining
silence from now on. But there's one thing I should have said. The hostage will end up dead. It's just a comedy. The then get my wife down here. A helicopter on the roof. No, please, marksman. Maintaining radio silence from now on. Mr. Voices, drowned out by too much choice. There's not to mention the sad waste of this wonderful invention. Maintaining radio silence from now on. Libraries filled up with failed ideas. There's nothing more for me there. It's hard to tell the difference between a king and a chick and a poet and a hack. Maintaining radio silence from now on.
And I am here to tell you right now, I will vote for President Trump, even if he is in jail, because that's the one man I believe needs to be back in the White House.
We begin with these new revelations about the case that's building by Jack Smith against Donald Trump.
It's kind of hard to keep track, given that there are so many different investigations and so much legal hot water that Trump is in.
Federal Judge Chanya Chutkin was ordered a hearing this week over the Justice Department's request for protective order, the rules governing the discovery process between prosecutors and the defense team. As the Washington Post notes, such protective orders can be technical, but are routinely approved by judges to protect witnesses and government investigative methods and priorities by limiting evidence sharing by the defense to people authorized by the court. In its argument for protective order, the Justice Department made a nod to the fact that the defendant has no problem using his massive platform to attack anyone he considers to be an enemy. The Post reports prosecutors explained that they wanted to immediately turn over evidence to speed the defense trial preparations, but were concerned in part over Trump's history of posting on social media about, quote, witnesses, judges, attorneys, and others associated with cases against him. Trump's defense team complained the government's proposed limits were overbroad and would limit the First Amendment rights of President Biden's main political opponent. Here's what Team Trump proposed, according to the New York Times. Mr. Loro proposed what he described as a more measured approach, one that would allow Mr. Trump to speak freely about the non-sensitive discovery materials and that would narrow the scope of the government's order to shield only genuinely sensitive materials from public view. The Justice Department is having none of it. In a filing late last night, prosecutors said, quote, the defendant instead proposed an order designed to allow him to try this case in the media rather than in the courtroom. Prosecutors also pointed out that Trump's attorney, John Loro, appeared on five Sunday shows to discuss the case, adding the defendant seeks to use the discovery material to litigate this case in the media, but that is contrary to the purpose of criminal discovery, which is to afford defendants the ability to prepare for and mount a defense in court, not to wage a media campaign.
No talking in the library.
At a rally in New Hampshire, Trump insisted that he will continue talking about the case, saying, quote, they are not taking away my First Amendment rights.
It is just the standard procedure that you are not allowed, for example, to do what John Loro was doing, talking publicly about the theory of their case, discussing some of the details, the witnesses trying to rip apart the government's position. That is usually frowned upon severely to the point that judges try to step in and stop that. In this case, a protective order seems to make some sense given that Donald Trump recently said in a very threatening post, if you're coming for me, I'm coming for you. Try to put those words in the mouth of a defendant who's charged with another kind of violent conspiracy. Forgive me, a kind of violent conspiracy. Pretend it's a gangland drug leader. Pretend it's a person who owns a multi-million-dollar corporation and is charged with stoking violence in some other setting. Imagine either of those defendants saying, if you come for me, I'm coming for you. That is sort of definitional threatening a witness.
Silence! I will not tolerate your insolence.
There's no First Amendment right here. He's being afforded all this information to prepare his case, not to try the case in the media, which is clearly what he wants to do. And of course, in a selective way that will do exactly what he shouldn't, pollute or prejudice people and potentially endanger or threaten others.
His chief lawyer has been out on the TV show saying, look, it's a First Amendment right to mislead the American people. If you're going to prosecute my client, then you have to prosecute all sorts of congressmen who mislead the American people constantly. And so I think then the question is, well, which is it? Is it that he's a First Amendment protection to misrepresent events to the American people? Or is it, no, it really was stolen and everything, I have evidence to prove it, and I'm going to present that in court?
I'm sorry, I won't be able to go to Iowa today. I won't be able to go to New Hampshire today because I'm sitting in a courtroom on bullshit. Because his attorney general charged me with something.
This district's rules prohibit defense counsel from doing precisely what he has stated he intends to do with discovery if permitted. Publicize outside of court details of this case, including the testimony of anticipated witnesses. This is because such statements risk tainting the jury pool with inadmissible evidence or otherwise harming the integrity of these proceedings.
Silent. But deadly.
I know what I'm thinking of could happen if that, for example, they do say Jack Smith says, okay, I'm going to put Donald Trump in jail.
I think it's a very dangerous thing to even talk about.
Okay.
Because we do have a tremendously passionate group of voters. And I mean, maybe, you know, maybe 100, 150. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
Much more passion than they had in 2020, and much more passion than they had in 2016. I think it would be very dangerous.
You remember, of course, the violent insurrection. That's at the center of all of this. Well, now, amidst the Smith case, there is an alleged new violent threat that has led to the FBI shooting and killing a man in Utah. This was actually hours ahead of President Biden's scheduled visit to that state. And the agents executed a search warrant for a suspect who had been caught making a number of alleged threats against the president, which itself can be a federal crime, as well as the DA of Manhattan, Alvin Bragg. This is the DA that Donald Trump has been publicly targeting since the Manhattan DA indicted Donald Trump. Law enforcement is not making any direct link, causal or otherwise, yet. But this is the environment we're in. NBC News reporting that this suspect, identified as Craig Robinson, on Monday made the threat referencing the planned trip to Utah by President Biden and discussed preparing camouflage and a sniper rifle. Then he called D.A. Bragg a hack. He brought up a conspiracy theory about George Soros and discussed a plot to somehow assassinate Bragg in a parking garage, according to these charging documents. You may recall, Donald Trump posted an image of himself holding this bat here on Truth Social right against this photo of D.A. Bragg. And this week, Jack Smith has referenced new threats by Donald Trump that were kind of more broad in nature as part of the sparring over the nature or the breadth of the rules around secrecy and discussing the evidence in the coup case. They wanted to basically commit fraud, a type of fraud, to launder or add a pretext to then stealing the election on the January 6th certification. We have a brand new document. It relates to some stuff we've known. But the document itself is brand new. It broke today here. New York Times had a story crossing late last night. It's the big news today where the Trump lawyer, with receipts, was basically writing down their conspiracy. Just writing it down.
Is you taking notes on a criminal f***ing conspiracy? What the f*** is you thinking, man?
The plan was to, and remember, the Electoral College has voted by December 14th. All of this is settled. And yet, in plain English, I'm going to leave it on the screen. This is conspiracy evidence right here. The plan was to, quote, deprive Biden of the electoral votes he basically had won, to keep him under the 270 votes that he'd already won, but to somehow engineer a fraud or a plot to create the pretense or the appearance that he didn't have them on the 6th. And this lawyer in private admits it's a bold, quote, controversial strategy.
Wisconsin cast its electoral votes for Biden and Harris today. Pennsylvania cast its electoral votes for Biden and Harris today. Georgia, Arizona. But it did get weird. I mean, in Arizona, I kid you not, Republicans in Arizona sent a forged certificate of ascertainment to the National Archives in Washington, pretending that they were the real electors from Arizona and their votes for Trump are real and should be counted by the United States Senate. Literally, they sent a forged document.
We were duped.
Michelle Lundgren is the ninth name on the list of accused fake electors charged by Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel.
We were told to come. They needed us, and we went, and we were given cake and coffee. We were called by a member of the Republican Party. Be sure you come. We really need your help. The scam was bigger than all of us.
We see these barricades going up. What do these new safety measures that we see at the courthouse tell you or at least signal to you?
Oh, I think it's clear an indictment is coming. There'd be no reason to go to the time and expense of putting up barricades if she didn't think it was coming. I think the words that you just started with, that it's coming before September, is an effort to not give Trump supporters a precise date, because, you know, you don't want to have a January 6th will be wild invitation when everybody knows it's coming. So I think she's being deliberately vague about when it might happen. And of course, grand jury matters are secret anyway.
There's not, and we have had the evidence. All of the documentation shows he won.
But what's the evidence?
There's a lot.
Like
there's
what?
Well, there's a lot.
But which one
there's
thing?
A, there's so much. I can't, everything I have, too much shows, sir. There's a lot of evidence. All the documentation shows you guys that election was stolen.
But what one thing?
There was a lot of election stolen, okay? My line.
But did you say one piece of evidence?
Like I said, if you have any other questions, you can ask them. I got no more, okay? So I can take that mic, go shutting, where does it start?
Okay.
But I would say, look, I don't know whether or not the government has the ability in this case to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a crime occurred, Rob. But I just want the American people to know that I did my duty that day and that President Trump was wrong in saying that I had some right to overturn the election. That was completely false. He continues to repeat it. His allies in the media continue to repeat it. And I'm not going to stand for it.
Well, I wasn't actually talking about that. I mean, you've made it clear your thoughts on that, and that's fine. I won't dispute your beliefs with regard to January the 6th. I'm just curious as how
it's
you...
not a belief. It's the law, Rob. It's the law and the history of this country.
A newly unsealed court document gives us a clue about how the special counsel built the case around Donald Trump.
So we just got this court decision from the D.C. Circuit, the appeals court. It was a case that was under seal, very curious what it was. And now we know it was a case between the special counsel's office, the people investigating January 6th, and Donald Trump, and Twitter. And what happened was in January, the special counsel investigators went to Twitter and they said, we have a search warrant and we would like data and records related to Donald Trump's Twitter account at Real Donald Trump. At that time, they didn't comply right away. Twitter had some sort of hiccups. They took a little bit of time. They faced a fine of $350,000 for delaying producing those records. And then why this ended up in court is because the Justice Department didn't want Twitter to tell Donald Trump that they were seeking this information. And they won that ability not to have Twitter disclose to Donald Trump, the client of Twitter, right, as the account holder, that this search was going to be taking place of his Twitter account. And the reason is really interesting. It's outlined here in that the court that they went before, the special counsel's office went before, believed that there was reasonable grounds to say that if they were to tell Donald Trump they were doing this search on his Twitter account, it could seriously jeopardize the ongoing investigation. He could potentially want to destroy evidence, change patterns of behavior, or, quote, notify Confederates. There's also a footnote in here about how there was a discussion of whether he might flee from prosecution if he knew the search was being discussed. The Justice Department ultimately walked that back, but that was something that the judge also had to look at. Would Donald Trump flee?
Because they wanted to look at his Twitter? Okay. But lately, girl, you get your kicks from just the driver.
I believe the keeping of those documents was a crime, and the obstruction was clearly a crime. You know, and now the superseding indictment, where they were, he was ordering folks allegedly to delete the surveillance cameras. You know, it reminded me of like what maybe Abbott and Costello meets the Corleones would have looked like. You know, all of a sudden now you're sending Fredo, Walton Outa as Fredo, down there to eliminate the server. I mean, this is both criminal and completely stupid, which is the combination that Donald Trump is bringing to the country, is the combination of criminality and abject stupidity.
Somebody shoot some guy he don't even know. Airplanes are falling out of the sky. A baby is born.
preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.